And this is May 23rd, Sunday, year of our Lord, 2010, Zion Baptist Church, our 10 o'clock service. And this morning we're going to be reading out of Acts chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 41. And I hope that you don't think that we're being repetitious on this. And a lot of times we come to church and Brother Glenn says, we want to back up in matter of review. Well, let me tell you, he does that for a purpose, because once he comes here on Sunday morning and preaches to us and expounds on the Word, he goes home and he reviews this again, and there's just so much more that can be said that wasn't said when he was here. And as I got to reading this, and looking at it and doing some research on it, I found some things that he had not said. So this morning we're wanting to go over this a little bit, and hopefully it won't be repetitious on what he's already said. So Acts, the second chapter, the 41st verse. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I guess if we were going to title this little message today, it would be Ignorance of the Law is No Excuse. Now, I know that some of you probably had to go to justice court on occasions for speeding tickets or something like that, some misdemeanor. I know that I have. In fact, I'm fortunate I didn't have to go about a month ago when I got two speeding tickets coming back from Texas. But the first thing they'll tell you is that ignorance of the law is no excuse. We're supposed to know what the law says. It's our responsibility to know what the law says. And that's what I want to talk about a little this morning. It's our responsibility to know what the book says. When I was in the military, we had an Air Force manual, 144-1, that covered our specific job. Now, that wasn't the only regulation or manual that we had. We had a multitude, a volume, a library of books that covered the things that we were supposed to be responsible for, things that we were supposed to do while we were in the military. But 144-1 covered my specific job, and regrettably, we called it the Bible. Back then, I was ignorant and didn't know. But anytime something happened, they would say, get the Bible and see what it says. Well, that should hold true with us today. Anytime we're in doubt or don't really understand, we should get the Bible and read and see what the Bible says. You know, periodically we had changes to that manual and the regulations in the military, and they called them TCTOs, Technical Order Changes. And we had to keep up with that. But the Bible does not change. It's the same today, tomorrow, and from now on. It's always been that way. But then again, unfortunately, there are some people that have tried to change the wording and the doctrine of the Bible. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" Then there's another scripture that Audrey looked up for me yesterday that's in Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. And it says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus already understood that the scribes and Pharisees presented an outward appearance of being self-righteous. But what did he tell the folks there? He says, until your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So it behooves us to know what the word says and to do our best to live according to that word. We're not going to be able to do it to the letter, but we should strive for that. I know that in my lifetime I've made a lot of mistakes that I'm so regretful for, and if I could take it back and do it again, I would certainly do things differently. But, you know, that's the way life is, and that's the way God works with us. He has a plan for us, and that plan is going to be fulfilled whether we want it to or not. And it's good that we can recognize what God's plan for us is at an early age and start doing that. Young Ty that comes to church with us, I'm very impressed with the young man that he is here with his father every time he has the opportunity. And I told Audrey the other day, I wish Kenton had the same attitude. And she said, well, maybe when Ty gets a little older, that he will change, but I'm praying that he doesn't change. I'm praying that he remains the same as he is as the time goes on. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. The apostles' doctrine. The apostles taught a specific thing when they started their ministry. And you know, the New Testament ministry didn't start till Acts 2 when Peter gave the sermon on the day of Pentecost. And that's when the New Testament church started being formed at that point in time. And the word doctrine derives from a Latin term which means or refers to teaching and to the content that was taught in the New Testament. The content that the apostles taught, that Peter and Paul and James and talked about during their ministries. And if you notice, if you read back up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there was no doctrine per se taught at that point in time. It started on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached the first message after the day of Pentecost. Therefore, the proper teaching of Scripture is referred to as the apostles' doctrine, what the apostles taught. And their teaching contrasted with erroneous teachings, which was referred to as the doctrine of devils. And as the pastor told us on many occasions, there's people that have came into the church and taught different things and different religions and different concepts, and even the Bible tells us that. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, And we can see that today. We can see that happening around us. If you don't think that people's conscience aren't seared with a hot iron, just go down to Walmart or go to any of these stores and you'll see how self-centered and how unrespectful that people have become. Even in the hospitals, you know, it's unpleasant being in the hospital, but it's like I told the little nurse that was waiting on me and taking care of me while I was there. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks to God, because everything that happens, happens for a reason to us. And I had the opportunity to be able to minister a little and talk to some of those nurses. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but I try to be a model patient when I'm in the hospital. And I would tell them, well, you can fool them for a while, but you can't fool them forever. But I don't try to fool them. I try to do what is expected of me and to make it as easy as possible on those people there. But for the most part, people don't do that anymore. They don't care. They don't care how much you suffer or what adversities you have to go through. It makes no difference to them. But we, as the chosen and the elect of God, we should be sensitive to our fellow man's needs. What the Bible says, esteem others higher than yourself. And sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes it's very hard to esteem others better than yourself. So all we have to do is just look around today and we can surely see that this is taking place. That some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. People this day and time don't care what they have to do to get what they want. I've heard Glenn speak many times from this pulpit, it's me. It's about me. But it's not about me. It's not about me. So what leads us to believe that the apostles' doctrine was the truth? Do you have any idea what would lead us to believe that what Peter and Paul and the apostles taught was the truth? It wasn't just because they were apostles by any means. But if we read in the scriptures, and if we pay attention, if we heed to what we're reading, it was because their teaching and their preaching was consistent with Scripture. Now, they didn't have the New Testament then, but they quoted the Old Testament. You know, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, quoted volume of Scripture from the Old Testament. Scripture that the scribes and Pharisees should have been aware of. And I guess they knew the Scriptures, but it hadn't been put in their heart to believe it. It had been put in Peter's heart to believe it. How were they able to do that? How were they able to recall that? Well, they spent 3.5 years with Jesus. And as Glenn has said on many occasions, they were just dumb old fishermen, but they were able to do it. They were able to speak in languages that people around them understood from different areas of the country. So how were they able to do it? The same way that we're able to intermingle with people that we come in contact with if we are truly believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will give you some words to say. it might not be what you would think that you should say at that point in time, but if you come back later and think about it, they were appropriate for the time. I used to, when I was living down in Florida, we had a Saturday morning ministry where we went out and went door to door, invited people to go to church. We didn't invite people to go to any specific church, but we invited them to go to church. And I guess, unfortunately, the folks I always got tangled up with would say, "We'll let you do the talking." I don't know if it's because I was that intelligent or because I was that dumb or whatever, or because I had that gift of gab and couldn't shut up. But they said, "We'll let you do the talking." But a lot of the people that I would meet on those Saturdays, I found I had a lot in common with them. Having been in the military, I met a lot of military people as we went door to door. And the Lord just gave words to say. Conversation that you could make with these folks and talk to them about the scripture and talk to them about going to church. I'm sure some of them went, but I'm sure a lot of them didn't go. We had some folks that wanted to come to church with us today, and Audrey called this morning and got their voicemail, and when we came by the house, we stopped and asked them if they wanted to go to church. Well, we didn't get in until 11 o'clock last night. But we're always looking for some excuse not to be there. And it's very easy to find an excuse not to be there. But now let me tell you something. Dedicated, God-fearing, God-loving people are going to be where they should be on the appointed time if they're able to. Certainly there's times that we can't be here. There's times of sickness, times of family distress, times that we have to make a living for our families that we just can't be here. And God knows that, and He expects us to make a living for our families. But on those times that we can be here, we need to be here, and we need to be learning the truth. We need to be aware of what the Bible says. We need to be aware of the law. Because, as I said, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And most of all of us this day and time are educated enough that we can read. And if we sit down and be prayerful about our reading, God will enlighten us. He'll enlighten us. So the apostles quoted and were consistent with the scriptures. Whereas other people that were teaching and the folks were not consistent with the scriptures. And one of the first religious exercises in the New Testament church after Pentecost was preserving the apostles' doctrine. They were very adamant about preserving and living according to the apostles' doctrine. And we, as a New Testament church today, should have the same ambition to live our lives in accordance with the apostles' doctrine. If we're going to call ourselves a New Testament church, we should be ever vigilant that we live according to what Scripture tells us in the New Testament. As I say, that's when the New Testament church began. That's what Glenn has been preaching on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Are we a New Testament church? And if we live according to the Word, we are a New Testament church. Does that mean we're perfect? Not by any means. That doesn't mean we're perfect. Doctrinal purity was and still is essential to a New Testament church. Just because it's 2010 don't mean that we can deviate from the apostles' doctrine if we call ourselves a New Testament church. But as I said before, if we look around in the year 2010, everyone is bent on having a good time on Saturday, Sunday, and all the rest of the days of the week, and they never once think about coming to church on the Sunday morning. Oh, we were out till 11 o'clock last night. Well, I stayed up till 11 o'clock last night also, and I'm sure that some of you did too. I'm sure that some of you might have worked last night, but we're here this morning. We can find that excuse not to come, but we are not to deviate from the truth. We want to hold fast to the apostles' doctrine, how to live in accordance with, thus saith the word of the Lord. And we must place ourselves under God's authority by accepting the discipline of the word of God. You know, Glenn is always telling us if one of us is doing something that we shouldn't do, we have a duty and responsibility to go to that person either privately and tell them that you're not living up to what is expected of the church. Unfortunately, a lot of that's going on this day and time. People are just living any way they want to, and they're still going to church and calling themselves Christians. And we can't do that, folks. We can't do it. What did it say in Matthew 5:17, 18, 19? Unless your righteousness is above the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall nowise enter in. So our righteousness has to be better than what the people around us is. And that goes for some of the preachers around us. We have to work out our own salvation in accordance with the Word of God and try to live that. Put ourselves under sound teaching and sound doctrine. Someone that doesn't deviate from the Word. I look around this morning and I just see all kinds of open Bibles. I had an aunt tell me one time that said, "Oh, you're one of those Bible-toting Baptists." Well, how are you going to know if you don't carry that Bible, if you don't read that Bible? I don't want to keep alluding to our pastor this morning, but he will tell you, turn with me to this scripture, turn with me to that scripture, so you will know what I'm saying. Read it for yourself. I'll give you some scripture here. You take it and when you get home and read it. That way we can keep him straight. In return, he can keep us straight. If we remove ourselves from the authority of Scripture, we cease to be a New Testament church. What am I saying? If we remove ourselves from the authority of the Scripture, we're no longer a New Testament church. If we remove ourselves from the authority of Scripture, we'll be doing anything that we want to do. It makes no difference. And we see that happening in many churches this day and time. I'm associated with some folks that go to different denominations. And as Glenn said the other day, that they don't even call themselves a church. And they just do things in that church that is just unimaginable for me to even think of. In fact, I had one fellow tell me that he says, "I have a sin that just don't bother me anymore." Can you imagine that? You have a sin or something that you're doing that just don't bother you anymore? When we get to that point, we have removed ourselves from the authority of the Scripture and we're living on our own. We're doing what we want to do. And we can't do that. We just can't. We can't do that. We've got to live by what the Scripture teaches. Sometimes it's hard. I used to know a fellow that, he was big in the Bible and done a lot of deciphering and writing and so forth. And someone that's happened to ask him one day about, well, what about that Scripture there? And he said, oh, that's a hateful Scripture. I don't want that Scripture. It might be hateful, but it's there for a purpose. It's there to keep us in line. Sometimes it's hard to live by them. Sometimes it's hard to do what they require us to do. And the man that tells you that it's easy to be a Christian is a liar and the truth is not in him. It's hard to be a Christian. There's so many things that tempt us, so many things that draw us away, that pull us over to the side. It's not easy. That's why the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Suit ourselves with every piece of it. Cover the entire body with the armor of God. Because if you're not careful, that arrow will get into your heel. Remember that little story? Where the man was shot with the arrow and it went in his heel and killed him. Can't remember exactly where that's at, but it's in there. I've read it before. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be on our guard. I'd like to comment a little bit before we close today on verse 45 and 46 and 47. Verse 45 says, And they that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to comment that the apostles never taught the selling of all of your possessions. That did happen for a short period of time. I think Glenn had pointed that out previously. But after about the fifth chapter of Acts, we don't see that happening anymore. They never taught, the apostles never taught that. They never taught communal living. You know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about communal living. A whole bunch of people getting together and rallying around one man. And they kind of lift this man up on a pedestal. And the problem is they get to the point where they start worshiping this man and not worshiping the Lord. So the apostles never taught selling everything that you own and communal type living. All we have to do is look back to Jim Jones in Guyana, what happened there. We had a communal type atmosphere. Jim Jones was supposed to be a big preacher. But what happened? He led these people astray. Takes them to Guyana. And they commit mass suicide on his word. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. We're talking about people that were supposed to be educated people. People that were lawyers and doctors and such. And this man led them astray because they didn't bring this to church. And when the preacher says, go with me to Acts 2:47 and read it for yourself, they just accepted his word for it, whatever he wanted to say. David Koresh in Waco was another incident where this man had gathered these people together, again, intelligent people, and started a communal type living affair. And let me tell you something, the things that go on in those communal living impoundments is not scriptural by any means. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to sit down and read the Bible and see those things. If you read the Word, you don't see any of that in God's plan for our lives. It does say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as the manner is of some. But it doesn't say that we're all here supposed to go out and buy us a piece of land, and Brother Gerald's supposed to go to farming, and we're supposed to go in there and fall and farm with him, and Brother Glenn is the leader of the whole group. It doesn't say that. In no means does it say that. Nowhere does it say that. So we have to be careful. We have to read. We have to understand what the Word says. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. No excuse. I'm just about to make it on time. I've got 20 minutes. I'd like to conclude and point out that the elect should carefully evaluate the belief and practices of the church by the standard of God's Word. We should evaluate the practices of this church, each and every one of us individually. Evaluate what's being said and what's being done and what's being preached and taught at this church. That's our responsibility as a New Testament church, is to evaluate what is going on. The Bereans examine the teaching of Paul in light of Scripture, Acts 17:11, if you want to turn there, not take my word for it. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, wherein those things were so. So as the preacher was preaching, these people were looking in the Word, looking in the Scriptures, as we do here at Zion Baptist Church. We go through and we follow Glenn and say, okay, let me look at that right there. Oh yeah, it does say that. So they received the Word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily, wherein those things were said were so. And we shouldn't only do that when we're in the church house, we should do it when we get home as well. Before we come to church on Sunday morning for our Bible study, we should read the Scriptures that we're going to be talking about that day. So if a preacher says something, we'll have some knowledge of it. Sunday night, like manner. Wednesday night, like manner. Oh yeah, I read that today. I remember that. So I know he's on track. Also in Revelations 2:2, the church at Ephesus, God says to the church, I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to prove that our pastor is not lying to us. And I'm thankful to say I've never caught him misquoting, and I pray that that I never do. But that's our responsibility. That's our duty. To prove the pastor. To know that what he's teaching us is the Word of God and not leading us off to Guyana or Waco. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Sure, there's some things that we might not be up to par on, but if we're not quite sure of that, we call someone and say, hey, do you know where the scripture is that says this and this? Yesterday I was going to call Brother Glenn, but I asked Audrey, and she said, give me just a minute and I'll find that for you. I'll find it for you. Verse 4 of Revelations 2 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I pray that we don't leave our first love here at Zion, that we always hold true to the Word, to the doctrine of the apostles. We search the Scriptures daily to prove the man that's standing in the pulpit is a man of God and teaching what should be taught. These people at Guyana and Waco left their first love, folks. They were ignorant of the law. They shouldn't have been ignorant of the law. Intelligent people should not be ignorant as to what the Bible tells us that we should do. We should examine the place where we go to church, read the Scripture to determine if that place where we're going, where we assemble ourselves, is living up to what the Bible tells us to do. I made it on time. I sang too fast, too slow, too fast, and preached too slow. But it's been a joy and a privilege to stand before you this morning. I know that there's not many of us here, but the Scripture says the Lord added to the church daily those who should be saved. And we've been blessed at our little church here lately. We've had members added, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for the opportunity to come here and be with you folks. Appreciate your prayers and your dedication to the church. Let's don't be ignorant of the law and don't leave our first love. Brother Jimmy, can you dismiss us?
Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this word that we just heard, Lord. We ask you, Father, to just set up a plan to our lives, Lord. Let us just do the good of the word, Lord, and not just hear it. And we ask you, Lord, to make our own congregation. Bless you.